right. Tonight I'd like to invite you over to the book of Psalms, Psalm 97, verse 1. Psalm 97, verse 1.
Psalm 97, verse 1 reads this way. It says, "The Lord reigneth. Let the earth rejoice. Let the multitude of the isles be glad thereof." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne this evening, thanking you again, once again, for the privilege of assembling together in your house as your children. And then, Lord, once again, being reminded where two or three are gathered together in your name, there are you in the midst. And so, Lord, we thank you for your presence. Lord, may we never take that for granted. We thank you that you are here. Open up our hearts, Lord, and our minds to hear from you tonight. And, Lord, that we might humbly approach you and call upon you and ask you, Lord, to fulfill your will in our lives. May we humbly submit ourselves before you as a living sacrifice, that you might be glorified in and through our lives as you've planned. And Lord, we'll give you all the praise tonight, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this evening is simply reasons, really two specific reasons to rejoice in the Lord's reign. Two reasons to rejoice in the Lord's reign. The first one is that the Lord is a terror to his enemies. So he's a just God. And they may not think it now, but they will one day stand before the Lord and give an account before him. And of course, on this side of eternity, we want them to be saved. That's his desire. It's our desire. We don't want anybody to have to go through that. We've been spared. And we surely would like those that don't know the Lord to have the same salvation that he's given to us. Because the truth is, none of us deserve it. Amen? None of us ever had a right to it, and yet God graciously has given it to each and every one of us. And so we thank the Lord for that. But those who will ultimately reject the Lord will give an account whether they realize it on this side of eternity or not. And then the second thought is that the upright in heart rejoice before the Lord because of his righteousness. We thank the Lord. Listen, it is the righteousness of God that gains us favor with the Lord. Isn't that the truth? You and I have no entrance before the throne room of God other than by the righteousness of the blood of Christ that was shed on Calvary for your sins and mine. That is the only thing that grants us any kind of merit with the Lord. Nothing that we have done. It is everything that the Lord has done for our eternal souls. And so we thank the Lord for that. And that never gets old. Amen? I mean, as a child of God, that never gets old. We can meditate on that. We can rejoice. We can praise the Lord for his great grace that he's given to us. So let's back up here to verse 1 and let's consider the Lord's terror on his enemies. And all righteous judgment really is in the hand of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that brings really comfort to God's people. Notice what it says here in verse 1. The Lord reigneth. We can stop right there, can't we? The Lord reigns. Even though there are wicked people, the Lord still reigns. Amen? He is completely aware of everything that is going on. And so therefore we can rest and have peace. He has set these things up. Did you know that? Listen, he has set up Pharaoh. Did he not set up Pharaoh? And everything was planned out. Even though things happened that were very unkind and very really treacherous that happened to the people of God, God allowed that to fulfill his purpose, and then that he would call them up out of Egypt. Likewise, also, Nebuchadnezzar was a servant of the Lord. Even before he knew it, God had given Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hands. I mean, he was the one that opened up the door for Nebuchadnezzar to come in and take over Judah. He was judging his people, but yet he used Nebuchadnezzar in doing so, and Nebuchadnezzar got to know the Lord, didn't he? There you find that in Daniel chapter 4. But if he didn't, he would still be in control, and God would be righteous in judging him as well. But he, again, when you read Daniel chapter 4, to me he sounds like the Apostle Paul, amen? But anyway, and that's the truth. Peace be unto all God's people, amen, and to the whole world through the Lord Jesus Christ is what he wants to do. Look at verse 2, or in fact, verse 1. The Lord reigneth, let the earth rejoice, let the multitude of the isles be glad thereof. And again, when we consider this idea of the isles, that's talking about all the remote area, all the islands, all the shore coast, everything that sometimes gets overlooked by the human eye. God says, I am in control of all of it. Even when we don't see it taking place, God knows everything that's going on. Does he not? That's a comfort to the child of God. And so he says, notice again in verse 2, he says, clouds and darkness are round about him. Righteousness and judgment are the habitation of his throne. Did you see that? Righteousness and judgment are the habitation. That's where God lives. God is upright. Does God wink at sin? Does he excuse when people decide, listen, this really doesn't matter. I can break this commandment of the Lord. God takes an account of every sin, and those who do not repent will pay the price for every sin. Every sin will be accounted for either under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ or by a personal condemnation in eternity in hell. And again, that's not the Lord's will. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But it's all up to the individual, is it not? The individual has to humble themselves. And here's what they have to say. I am wrong. I am wrong and God is right, right? That's just a simple way of saying it. I am wrong and God is right. And by the way, when God gives us his light, we want to walk in that light. And it's easy. Listen, when I'm wrong, I want to confess it. We don't want to be like David. David, they say, probably waited with his sin with Bathsheba before he was confronted, probably about a year. That's a long time to wait. We want to have a short account with the Lord so that we can have an open relationship with him and a good back and forth with the Lord and walk in fellowship with him. So he says, clouds and darkness are round about him. Righteousness and judgment are the habitation of his throne. And then verses 3 through 5, we find that no one is able really to stand before the Lord without his mercy and grace. Notice what it says here in verse 3. A fire goeth before him and burneth up his enemies round about. Listen, even Daniel got sick after received that vision from the Lord. He was sick, the Bible says, for several days he was sick. And by the way, you remember different times that people had to be touched when they were in the presence of the Lord. You think of Isaiah. He saw himself and the Lord touched him with a live coal right from off the altar that he was able to stand. Now, listen, I'm sure that wasn't painful as we would think of it being painful, but yet it enabled him to stand before the righteousness of God. I'm afraid people do not really realize the holiness of God. God is holy, and listen, flesh and blood cannot stand before the Lord unless he intervenes. It would kill us. We would die. We don't have, listen, we could not stand before Almighty God. And by the way, as a child of God, we want to walk upright and say, Lord, I want to be completely yielded in your hands because you are holy and you are worthy. And the Bible says, verse 3, a fire goeth before him and burneth up his enemies round about. They're going to stand before this God one day, and you and I will as well. His lightnings enlighten the world. The earth saw and trembled. The earth saw and trembled. Notice, the hills melted like wax at the presence of the Lord. At the presence of the Lord, the whole earth. Isn't that amazing? When you stop and think about this, this is the God Almighty, the creator of everything, is holy and righteous, and none of us are able to stand without his mercy before him. And so we thank the Lord for that. Verse 6 and 7, we find that both saved and unsaved will see his glory. Look at verse 6. It says, the heavens declare his righteousness, and all the people see his glory. Whether they receive it or not, you just have to be willfully ignorant. Today's interpretation, that's dumb on purpose. Amen? So the way that works out is that you cannot see everything, the rotation of the earth, the way we get our seasons, the way, you hear people say, certain things just kind of happen in our bodies. No, we were designed, right? Would you get a high-tech computer out of an explosion? Do you know that our bodies are more intricate and more detailed and more advanced than any computer? We have little motors in certain germs in our bodies that have a 2,300 RPM, little motors that you can't even see with your eyeballs, but these scientists have seen that rotate through 2,300 revolutions per minute. Isn't that amazing? And they were talking about things that people don't even see on a microscopic level. You know, most microbiologists would say there has to be a God. No way all this stuff would be going on and functioning right. And by the way, so get this. Here's how brilliant evolutionists are, or people who reject the Lord, because you have to be a rejecter of the Lord to believe in that nonsense. So here's this big explosion that created nothing. And now out of that big explosion, you're trying to tell me that everything just started over thousands of years to develop. So we didn't need a heart for a while, for thousands of years. We just lived with, we were some kind of life form, but no beating heart, no brain to think, and animals that migrate and do certain things, that all just happened by accident, right? No, that's ridiculous. If it was done by mere chance, animals wouldn't even know to take care of their little animalings, whatever they are, right? And likewise, you and I wouldn't know how to take care of kids either. But God put that in us that we would understand. And by the way, where does right and wrong come from? Where does right and wrong from? If it doesn't come from God, where does right and wrong? From me? From you? And then tomorrow we could just change that, right? We could just say, you know, today I think it's legal to go around and kill people. That's what people do, don't they? They don't think it's legal. They break the law. But that's ridiculous, isn't it? We don't come up with these laws. God is the one that said, thou shalt not kill. Amen? And he's the one that orders everything in its proper place. So, verse 7, he says, confounded be all they that serve graven images. They will be, won't they? They'll be confounded one day when they stand before the Lord. Notice that boast themselves of idols, worship him, all ye gods. You know what he's saying? Everything is submitted to the Lord. All these gods, and there's only one God. But all these created gods in the imagination of the heart of man that do not really exist will all fall before God Almighty because they don't even exist. But they will see, the people that put their faith and their hopes in them will see that they will ultimately fail before the Lord. And the only one that's behind the false idols and the false gods is Satan himself. He's the only one that would put that in the heart and mind of mankind. And so all these people are going to be dismayed one day when they stand before the Lord. People that leave this world without knowing the Lord will give a full account. They'll realize in a heartbeat. You know, there was not anything really wrong with the rich man, and Lazarus. He didn't murder anybody. He didn't steal, did he? He had plenty of money. Where was he when he left this world? In hell, he lifted up his eyes. You know why? Because he rejected God. He was a rightful heir, but he rejected the righteousness of God. He trusted in his own righteousness. Listen, I wouldn't want to be in that person's shoes, would you? Not for all the money in the world. And by the way, the Bible says he lived sumptuously. He lived, how long do you want to live sumptuously? It would be like saying, be the richest man in the world and you die tomorrow. Isn't life just that fast? My goodness, listen, tomorrow, before we know it, we'll be out of this existence and into eternity. So what is the most important thing on this side of eternity? There's only one thing. That's it. God Almighty is the most important one. And to love him and to follow him in his mercy and in his judgment and not to stand in our own righteousness. That's what this individual here who didn't know the Lord, they were, listen, verse 7, confounded be all they that serve graven images. Confounded also are all those that put their hope and trust in themselves and in what they think instead of what the Bible says. It's important that you and I that know the Word of God ought to walk in the Word of God. I dare say the rich man knew the Word of God, but he didn't follow it. He didn't follow it. He rejected it. And Lazarus was in Abraham's bosom when he died and left this world. He was carried by the angels, But the rich man was simply just buried and then went to hell. And we don't have to have that fate if we will submit to the Lord and humbly walk with our God. So we find here that both saved and unsaved will see the glory of the Lord. They'll all stand before him one day. And then the second thought, which is the last thought, is that the upright in heart rejoice before the Lord because of his righteousness. Verses 8 and 9, we find that God's people rejoice because we understand his exalted position. Look at verse 8. Zion heard and was glad. These are the people of God. You know what? When I hear about the righteousness of God, when I hear about that God's on his throne, even as we speak right now, I can rejoice. Praise God that he's on his throne in spite of what the world might do. Listen, the most important thing any politician could do, any individual on planet Earth, anyone in this country, is to trust the Lord Jesus Christ for their righteousness. Everything else will not mean anything to them in eternity. This world is passing away and everything that's in it. The only thing that's eternal is our soul. So what would a man give in exchange for their soul? What would we exchange that we might think we might gain happiness apart from a relationship with the Lord and following him in his righteousness? God gives us that free choice, but the best choice is to rejoice in the righteousness of God that he's given to us as a saved child of God. So again, notice verse 8, Zion heard and was glad. And the daughters of Judah rejoiced. Why? Because of thy judgments, O Lord. Thy judgments, they're holy and they're right. And notice verse 9. For thou, Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all gods. There is not one God that comes close to our God. Then the last thought here. In verses 10 through 12, we find that a life-changing revelation is given to the people of God. God reveals this to us. Listen, the Jews here, the Hebrew people, weren't thinking, oh, my God's just exalted. They experienced the holiness and the righteousness of God through their deliverance, did they not? God reveals himself to us through salvation and then through every situation that we are in as we humbly submit ourselves. Did Joseph know the Lord was in control? He would have never humbly walked with the Lord if not. Listen, it took the righteousness of God to humble Saul of Tarsus that made him the Apostle Paul. He submitted himself and different things came into his life. And he could have, my goodness, he was prisoned, he was left for dead, he was shipwrecked, he was in the water. So many different things were done to him, and he submitted before how many of them? All of them. Why? Because he trusted the Lord. He said, you know what, God? You are everything, and I know that you work all things together for my good and for your glory. That's a trust that we give to the Lord. Lord, I don't have to understand everything. Do I? To trust the Lord? Is that the kind of relationship, God? Well, you show me, Lord. You prove it to me. No, Lord, listen. I'm just when I see the word of God, I you can't even see me in the grand scheme of things. I am so small. I'm just a speck. I have an existence, but I'm microscopic in the grand scheme of God's plan. I'm just such a finite small part, and yet God sees us. Isn't that amazing? And yet God sees us and loves us. Isn't that amazing? And we are so insignificant, but we are so significant. What does that mean? We are so insignificant in reality, but we are so significant because God gave us his son. That's pretty important, isn't it? That's pretty important. And so if God gave us his son, what should we give him? We should give him ourselves. We should give him ourselves. So, verse 10, ye that love the Lord, notice, hate evil. That's how we love the Lord. Ye that love the Lord, hate what God hates. Hate what God hates. Don't coddle it. Don't pet it. Don't play with it. Whatever God hates, hate it. Because we don't want to give it any room edgewise into our hearts and into our minds that it would lead us away from a relationship with the Lord. Ye that love the Lord, hate evil. Why? He preserveth the souls of his saints. Isn't that good? God preserves us. You know what? If he didn't preserve us, not a single one of us would be here tonight. Not a single one of us. You are preserved. You are preserved. I cannot tell you how many people that I know that have served the Lord 20, 30 years that are no longer serving the Lord. Isn't that sad? How does that happen? I don't know. I don't want to know. And by the way, it scares me because I'm just flesh and blood. I can't keep myself, but God can. Amen? I put my faith and trust in the Lord to keep me walking upright according to His Word. I don't look to myself to keep His Word because you know what I'll do? Well, let's see. Let me take out my pen. And nobody look. We can just change this a little bit. We can just change that a little bit. Oh, no, that's not the way I want to walk. Lord, I won't touch Your Word, but I need You to allow me to follow Your Word to the letter, to the T. I don't want to tolerate and make excuses for not keeping the Word of God. I don't want to settle because, well, after all, I'm just human. Oh, no, no. I'm a child of the King. I'm a redeemed, loved by the Lord, given the righteousness of Christ. Hey, listen, I am more than a conqueror through Christ that dwells inside of me. And so, by the way, listen, I don't want to live a mediocre life. Is that all that my God is worthy of? No, listen, Lord, I want to give You my life that You might show me Your way. Amen? And walk upright before You. So, again, ye that love the Lord hate evil. He preserveth the souls of His saints. He delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked. Isn't that good? Verse 11, light is sown for the righteous and gladness for the upright in heart. Light is sown for the righteous and gladness for the upright in heart. Did you get that? Light is sown. God sows light for those that are upright. Amen. Amen? He doesn't bless those that are not serious with Him. He loves them. He's wanting them to seek Him. But those that are really seeking the Lord, God says here that light is sown for the righteous. You know what that means? God sows light into our life so that we know how to walk in His way. Because we're not going to settle. We're not going to settle and excuse ourselves because that's just the way I see it. I didn't get saved to do things my way. Amen? God saved me that I might follow after Him. He said, follow me. So light is sown for the righteous and gladness for the upright in heart. I like that. And gladness. He brings joy. Listen, Job went through a lot. At the end of it all, though, was he glad? Wasn't he? Yeah, he was. How about Joseph? Was he glad? How about Daniel? Was he glad? Listen, all the saints that serve the Lord are glad. Amen. When it's all said and done. Last verse. Rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous. Rejoice. We can rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous. And give thanks at the remembrance. Listen to this. At the remembrance of His holiness. I want to give thanks. I know you do too. At the remembrance of His righteousness. So what do I think about the righteousness of God? If I remember it and meditate and rejoice in it, it should be upheld. It should be honored. It should be exalted. It should be the most important thing in our lives, the righteousness of God. I don't want to finagle and excuse it and cover it up that I might have my way. I want to have God's way. Why? Because He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we can rejoice in that. So those are two reasons to rejoice in the Lord's reign. Would you stand? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your word. We thank You so much for the love that You have for each and every one of us. We don't always understand everything on this side of eternity, and we know that. But Lord, You are worthy to be trusted. And I pray, Lord, that You would instill that in each and every one of our hearts, especially in the difficult times, in the times of trials, Lord. You uphold us, Lord, or we would have failed a long time ago. And we thank You for Your great faithfulness. Bless as we break off for prayer, and we'll give You all the praise. For we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.